Good evening to everybody. Parshas B'shalach, of course, is most well known for Kriyat Yamsuf and Shiras Hayam, and following Bnei Yisrael traversing and miraculously passing through over the Yamsuf, Bnei Yisrael begin their journey in the Midbar that ultimately will lead them toward about 40 years or so of Klal Yisrael in the Midbar, and of course, soon after Bnei Yisrael indeed, cross the Yamsuf and sing Shiras Hayam, they begin to complain about the lack of water, the lack of meat, the lack of food, and of course the comparisons to the ability to eat and the food that they had in Mitzrayim. Now, Kadosh Baruch Hu miraculously provides and prepares the Jewish people with enough food to eat, and most prominently and most well known, of course, is the man. The man is a special food that fell in Hashemayim, and the Torah goes to great lengths to describe and to depict and to articulate the way that the man fell, how the man fell, and all the different aspects as to how the Jews are to collect and eat the man. Regarding the man and its falling, on Friday, the Torah tells us, Vayhi bayom hashishi, and would it come upon the sixth day, of course, Friday, Erev Shabbos, laktu lechem mishnah. The Jewish people would gather lechem mishnah. Lechem mishnah is a double portion of food. Shnei ha'omer le'echa. And everybody was made known of this. All of the Nesiim, the princes of the assembly, came and told Moshe. And Moshe told them the reason for the falling of the double portion of the man is because tomorrow is Shabbos, Shabbos on Shabbos Kodesh, Es Asher Tofu, Efu, Vasesher Tevashelu, Bashelu, Veskola Odef, and Yichu Lacheb. Everything that you cook, everything that you bake should be done in preparation for Shabbos. And whatever you have on Friday will be for you on Shabbos as well. Vayomer Moshe, Ichlu Hayom, Ki Shabbos Hayom Hashem Hayom Lo Tintzu Basada. Moshe tells the Jewish people, eat it today. Today is Shabbos. Today you shall not find it in the field. And today is the day, indeed, you should eat this man and the double portion of the man. From here, the Gemara, the Poskim Halachic Authority, Shulchan Aruch, Matur, Beis Yosef, posits that there are two halachas that we learn from the man. Number one is the requirement of Lechem Mishnah, that the meals on Shabbos should be a double portion of bread, that we'll discuss. And furthermore, the Torah also indicates that there should be three meals on the day. The Gemara on Shabbos and Daf Kuf Yuches Amud Beis learns from the fact that Moshe told the Jewish people, Ichluhu Hayom, eat it today, Ki Shabbos Hayom LaHashem, today is the day of Shabbos, Hayom Lo Tintzu Basada, today you will not find in the field. The fact that the Torah uses the word Hayom three times, it's clearly indicative of the fact that there's a chiyuv of shalosh sudos, three meals over the course of Shabbos. In terms of halachas of shalosh sudos, they can be found in Arachayim Simei Reish Tzadik Aleph, and the Shulchan Aruch begins by quoting the Gemara in Shabbos that says, Yehi zahir ma'od l'kayim sudos shlishis. The person should be very careful, cautious, in particular, to fulfill a third meal on the Shabbos day. Va'afinu saveya, even if a person is stationed, he's full of the short Shabbos. You could eat a kbeitza worth, an egg's worth of whatever it is that we will discuss momentarily. If a person is unable to eat, he is so full, so satiated, is unable that it will ultimately become cut, it will become disgusting and revolting for him to eat more. There is no requirement to put oneself in a place where it will be troublesome, difficult, burdensome, and cumbersome to eat more. And in that situation, you do not have to be mitzayer to pain yourself to eat. However, the Shulchan Aruch does note, quoting the Torah, Hachacham eina v'rosho. Be wise, be smart. Shlo yimali bitzno besudas haboker kadei liten makom osudas shlishas. Make sure you don't fill yourself up, especially on a short Shabbos, with the daytime meal, in order that you're not going to have enough room to eat for sudas shlishas. That is what the Mechaber says. The Ramah adds a fact from the Rush. The Rush Paskins and the Ramah both says, Allah here in Ritzim Reish Tzadik Aleph, somebody who for whatever reason was unable to eat a Friday night meal, a person is sick in the hospital, a person fell asleep, a person is not feeling well, and one is unable to eat the Leil Suda, the Suda of Leil Shabbos, Yochal Shalosh Sudos B'Yomer Shabbos. You could still mean the kind the Mitzvah Shalosh Sudos on Shabbos day proper, and one should then eat three meals on the daytime of Shabbos itself. Now, this rule of Lechem Mishnah seems to be referring to the three meals of Shabbos. But let's say a person has more than three meals. A person is eating much, much more. So the Ramah says, not here in Sif Aleph, but in Sif Dalet, Shabbos, a person to long Shabbos, so you're going to eat four times or five times. Sarech lechol suda shtei kikaros. Every meal requires shtei kikaros. Make sure you're having lechem mishnah at each and every single Shabbos meal. Now this point is taken to the extreme, the Kitzur Shulchan Aruch, of Shlomo Gantzried, in his Simen Ayin Zayin, 59 notes, and not only is this true when it comes to bread, and the kikaros, and the lechem mishnah of Shabbos, but he says it's also true when it comes to eating mizonos. That's to say, a person has kiddush early in the morning on Shabbos, and he's going to make kiddush, and he's going to take a cookie. Says of Shlomo Gantzried that you should take two cookies. That's lechem mishnah. Not only is it true when it comes to the lechem proper, but rather it's referring to all types of food that one eats throughout the course of Shabbos. He says he saw this by a Adam Gadol Echa, by a great man, that throughout the course of Shabbos, whenever this great Rav would eat, he would eat or take at least doubles of the food that we're eating, and specifically mizonah. Many Achronim note the position of Kirtzul Shulchan Aruch and argue on the position of the Shulchan Aruch. Of course, this does not seem to be the common practice and the common custom. Minchas Yitzchak, Dayan Weiss, and his Chulis argues on the Kirtzul Shulchan Aruch, as do many other poskim as well. Now, the fact that Suda Shlishis and Lechem Mishnah are both learned out from the psukim of the Mun and from the fact that the Mun fell double on Erev Shabbos would seem to indicate the halachas of Suda Shlishis and the halachas of Lechem Mishnah should be identical. For example, not only do we have three meals on the course of Shabbos, but at each meal, one is required to have Lechem Mishnah, to have two rolls or two loaves of bread. For the Friday night meal, for the Shabbos day meal, and the Suda Shlishis meal. One is also required to have two loaves of bread. Of course, equating and placing Suda Shlishis and the Lechem Mishnah together. However, the Shulchan Aruch does note in Sif Hei of Siman Reish Tariq Aleph that lechatchil a person should have bread at the third meal. The Tur is quoting the Balei Tosfos, and that's the Shulchan Aruch notes. However, the Shulchan Aruch does note that there are two or three other opinions as well as to what one is required to eat for Shalosh Shudas. If a person can't come across, or is so full that he cannot eat bread, the first opinion, the Shulchan Aruch and Siman Reish Tzadik Aleph, Sif Hei, quoting the Tur in the name of the Rush, that even one fulfills the mitzvah of Suda Shlisha, Shalosh Sudos, if he has one of the five grains, Chameshes Mine Daga. The second opinion that the Shulchan Aruch quotes, the second Yesh Omrim, also in the name of Tosos, you could have any type of product that one uses as a condiment with bread. For example, basar, dagim, meat, chicken, fish, all of those items would be considered to be dvarim hamalafisim hatapas, and one can also fulfill the mitzvah and the third meal by having chicken, meat, fish, avalob beperos, not fruit. That's the second opinion in the Shulchan Aruch. The third opinion in the Shulchan Aruch, quoting the Ran, and Rabbeinu Yonah, the afilu beperos yachol la'asosa, even with fruit, one is fulfilled the mitzvah of Suda Shlishis. Machaber concludes and says, svara rishona ikar shetzarach la'asosa bepas, ideally lechatchila, the primary position is the position that one should fulfill the mitzvah of the third meal with pas, with lechem mishnah, ela in kein hu saveh biyoser, unless one is extraordinarily full. There is another exception to the rule in terms of Suda Shlishis, what makes it fundamentally different than the first and the second meal, and of course that's what the Shulchan Aruch says in Siman Reish Tzadik Aleph, the Dalet, Ein Tzarech L'Kaddish B'Suda Shlishis. There's no mitzvah to make Kiddush at the third meal. And although you are required to have Shtei Kikaros Lechem Mishnah, nonetheless there's no Chiyuv to make Kiddush. Now, the position of the Rambam in Hilchos Shabbos Perek Lamed seems to indicate that there is a Chiyuv Kiddush at the third meal. The Rambam does not mean that it's a Kiddush, the likes of the Kiddush Friday night and the likes of the Kiddush Shabbos day, but rather that one should be koveya some level of Kiddush at the Shalosh Sudas, at the third meal, to drink a little bit of wine. That is the opinion. It's brought by the Mishnah Berurah in Siman Tav Kuf Chaf Tes. But la halacha mikra din, of course, that is not required. Although we find many parallels between the mitzvah of Suda Shlishis, Shalosh Sudos, and Lechem Mishnah, we do find one major distinction between the two. It's not when it comes to Shabbos, but rather it's when it comes to Yontif. Of course, in Yontif, there's a chiyuv of Lechem Mishnah at every single meal. One is required to have two loaves of bread, two rolls at the meals on the Sudos of Yontif. However, of course, as you're familiar, there's no requirement to have a third meal on Yontif. There's no halacha of Suda Shlishis. Now, you should be aware, and you should note, that the opinion of the Rambam, indeed, based upon the Tur, is that there is a requirement to have a third meal even on Yom Tov. Therefore, there would be a parallel, seemingly, if both halachas of Lecha Mishnah and Suga Shlishas are learned from Yom Tov, would seem to be true both on Shabbos and on Yom Tov. However, the Beis Yosef asks a question on the tour, asks a question on the opinion of the Rambam, and the halacha, the Shulchan Aruch posits again in Hilchos Yom Tov, Siman Tavkuf Chafet, that there is absolutely no requirement of Suda Shlishas when it comes to Yom Tov at all. And the Mishnah Berurah does note from the Magen Avraham, quoting other Achronim, who are machmir for the opinion of the Rambam, that there is a chiyuv Suda Shlishas, a third meal on Yom Tov itself. That indeed was the opinion of the Chazon Ish. Chazon Ish himself was machmir to have a third meal. The only ones, contemporarily, of those who are machmir to have a Suda Shlishas, it could be a makor for what we refer to as the Ni'ilas Achag, the concluding meal after Yom Tov, Pesach, Shavuos, and Sukkot. According to many, the kiyum, the mitzvah, the concept of Ni'ilas Achag, is to be mekayim, the mitzvah of Suda Shlishas on Yom Tov. Now, of course, in Eretz Yisrael, when there's one day, that's easy, because you're mekayim the mitzvah of Shalosh Sudos, but in Yom Tov Sheni, here in Chutz La'aretz, in the Diaspora, in the Galus, the Ni'ilas Achag only takes place on day two, and of course, one does not fulfill the mitzvah of Shalosh Sudos on day one of Yom Tov. Nonetheless, fundamentally speaking, that is the difference between Lecha Mishnah and Suda Shlishas, that when it comes to Yom Tov, there is a chiyuv of Lecha Mishnah, although there is no chiyuv of Suda Shlishas. When it comes to the chiyuv of Lecha Mishnah, that's the Shulchan Aruch Pashkin, in, again, Orachaim, Meresh Ayin Aleph, that that's based upon the Gemara in Mitzachas Pesachim and Daf Kuf Aleph, in the opinion of Tosos, Tzarech Shtia Mapa Al Shulchan Tachat Apas, Umapa Acheres Prusa Al Gabav. There's a requirement that when one sets the table Friday night, not only do you set it with the beautiful dishes, cutlery, and assortments of other items, but there has to be a tablecloth underneath, and there also has to be a mapa acheres prus al gabav. There also has to be a challah cover. So on Friday night and on Shabbos day, the chiyuv of Lecha Mishnah is not just to have two loaves of bread, not just to have two rolls of bread, but there's also a chiyuv, a requirement to cover the challah on top and that there be a challah cover underneath. The question is why? Why indeed is there a requirement to cover the challah, and what's the significance of there being a tablecloth underneath the challah? If you take a look at the Gemara in Pesachim, that's Kufam Abayis, the Rishon there cite three primary reasons as to the requirement and the reason as to why we cover the challah on Shabbos. The first opinion is the opinion of the Rashbam. The Rashbam quotes the opinion of the Shiltus of Rabbi Chaigon, who says that in order that we be excited to look forward to anticipate the Shabbos meal and to anticipate the challah, therefore we cover the challah to be a tease, to be exciting, that we should look forward to eating the challah, and therefore we cover them in in order to be excited for the Shabbos meal. That's the opinion of the Rashbam. Tosos there, Pesachim Daf Kuf Amud Beis, argues on the opinion of the Rashbam, and Tosos says, no, the answers are Parsha. If the purpose of Lecha Mishnah is Zeche Laman, just like the Pasuk tells us when it comes to the month, there was Tal Lamala and Tal Lamata, there was dew on top of the month, and there was dew underneath of the month. If the Lecha Mishnah, the two loaves of bread that we eat on Shabbos, are to commemorate the Lecha Mishnah, therefore we should also cover the challah on top and place a tablecloth underneath. That's the position of Tosos. And the Iri cites the opinion of the Rashbam, cites the opinion of Tosos, and states a third reason, and that is Shelo Yireh Hapas Boshto, that the bread shouldn't be embarrassed. And the Iri explains that to mean that during the week, ordinarily, when it comes to the priority of brachos that we make, first comes the bracha of Hamotzi Lechem in Arts, and only after that comes the bracha of Bori Pri HaGafen. First you make a bracha on bread, hamotzi, and then you make a bracha on wine, bori pri hagafen. But on Friday night and on Shabbos day when you're making kiddush, first you're going to make a bracha, bori pri hagafen, and only then after you're going to make a hamotzi lechem min haaretz. So in order not to embarrass the bread, which ordinarily receives its bracha prior to the bori pri hagafen, we cover the challah in order for the challah not to be embarrassed. So those are the three reasons that we find in the Rishonim, the opinion of the Rashbam, based upon the Shiltos, to have an excited individual family that we should look forward to the Shabbos meal and the Lecha Mishnah, the opinion of Tosos that it's Zeche Laman, Tal Lamala and Tal Lamata, and the opinion of the Meiri vis-a-vis Hilchos Kedima in Brachos, that the bread should not be embarrassed. L'kavod Shabbos Kodesh, I'd like to share with you seven nafkaminas, seven practical differences between the opinions, the positions of the Rashbam, Tosus, and the Miri as to the reason for covering the challah. The first, until what point is one required to cover the challah? When do you have to cover it? Only after you complete the recitation of Kiddush? Or do you have to continue keeping the cover on top of the challah even after you make the Hamotzi Lechem in Ar? The Magen Avraham in Siman Reish Ayin Aleph, Tzidkat and Chaf, raises this question, and he says the answer to this question is dependent upon the reasons for why we cover the challah. If the reason that we cover the challah is in order not to embarrass the bread, so one would have to continue covering the challah until after the Kiddush. But once you finish Kiddush and the bread no longer is embarrassed because Kiddush has come to a conclusion, at that point the challah cover can be removed and you can make Hamotzi Lechem Min Haaretz without the cover on top of the challah. However, says the Magen Avraham, according to the other reason, Zeche Laman, in order to commemorate the man, talamala, talamata, or according to the other reason, that the shilta says that one is supposed to be excited for the meal, so I still didn't eat the challah when I made the bracha. So therefore, according to that side, according to those two reasons, the Magen Avraham posits that the challah should still be covered up until and including the conclusion of the Hamotzi Lechem in Aretz. The Magen Avraham doesn't take a side and posit a specific halachic opinion on the matter, but he does note that based upon the different reasons, this would be the basis as to whether or not the challah cover has to be removed or should be removed after Kiddush, or it should remain on until after the Hamotzi Lechem Min Haaretz. A second nafkamina would be the third meal, Shalosh Sudos. Is there a chiyuv to cover the challahs at the third meal, Sudos Shlishis? Well, according to the reason that the bread would be embarrassed because Kiddush is coming before Hamotzi, as we mentioned before, there's no bracha of Bari Piragaf and there's no Kiddush that takes place at Sudos Shlishis. So therefore, according to that reason, in terms of Kedima Bebrachos, the bread never gets embarrassed and therefore you shouldn't require any challah cover whatsoever at the third meal. However, according to the other two reasons, that the reason for covering the challah is Zeche Laman, that there was dew on top and the dew on the bottom, so we should also cover the challah because the challah is commemorative of the man. And furthermore, in order to be kihechi the tesi, the Sudas, the Shabbos biyikra, to be excited for the Shabbos Sudas meal, that's also true not only in the first and the second meal, but it's also true when it comes to Sudas Shlishis, and therefore one should cover the challahs as well, even at Sudas Shlishis. The Racha Shulchan raises this question and is mekel, and that seems to be the common custom in Klal Yisrael, that most do not cover the challah at Sudas Shlishis, because he seems to indicate that the main reason for covering the challah is because of Kedima bebrachos, not to embarrass the challah, and therefore one would not be required to cover the challah at the third meal. What about a meal, a communal meal? Many tables in shul, at a simcha, and there are many people eating together, 10, 20, 30, hundreds of people eating together at a major Shabbos Friday night meal, a Shabbos day meal in a hotel, etc. And only one person is making the bracha of Baruch Piragafa. Does every single person and all of those hundreds of people have to cover the challah, even though they themselves are not making Kiddush? It's only one person making Kiddush for tens or hundreds of people. Does everybody have to cover the challah? Moshe Feinstein, Regis Moshe, and Cheleke Simen Chas, Os Yuches, Paskins, that you're required, each and every single individual, for all three reasons to cover the challah, even though you're not making Kiddush, and you're only hearing Kiddush, and even though you're not at the same table. He says, certainly because of the halacha of shlo yirapas boshto, the bread is going to be embarrassed because Kiddush is being made before the bread that's sitting next to you at the table. Furthermore, of course, according to the other two reasons, talamala, talamata, zeich laman, and according to the reason of the shiltos, they should be excited for the bread, the suda, certainly one should cover the chel as well, and that's indeed the opinion of Moshe Feinstein, one who is at a communal, large Shabbos meal, one person is making Kiddush for many people on their different tables. According to Moshe Feinstein, one should cover each and every single individual challah at all of the different tables. A fourth nafkamina. Does one and is one required to cover mizonos? You're at a Kiddush, or a person is making Kiddush Shabbos morning, and he is having a cake or cookies or some type of mizonos with it in order to be mekayim the mitzvah of Kiddush b'makom suda. Do you have to cover the mizonos? This question is raised by the Shmir Shabbos Kilchasa, Shlomo Zalman Orbach, in a footnote to Rav Neuwirth Sefer in Parak Mem Zayin, Os Chafei, And in Ha'ara footnote 123, Kuf Chaf Gimel says that one is required according to the reason of Shelo Ye'akat Boshto, because when it comes to the priority of brachos that are made, first comes Hamotzi, and then comes Borei Pri HaGafen. However, between Hamotzi and Borei Pri HaGafen is the Borei Min HaMizonos. Borei Min HaMizonos comes prior to making a bracha on Borei Pri HaGafen on wine, and therefore, even though you're not eating bread, but you're only having a Mizonos, so the Mizonos is going to become embarrassed. And therefore, the Mizonos should be covered, according to Rav Shlomo Zalman Orbach. The same thing is true as the other reasons, Zeichel Aman, and in terms of Kihechi Detesi, Sud of the Yikra, the Shapsa, well, Zeichel Aman, that's only bread. In order for to be excited for the meal, this is not a meal. It's only Kiddush. It's only Mizonos. But according to the reason that you shouldn't embarrass the bread, or in this case, not to embarrass the Mizonos, because typically Mizonos comes before Borei Pri HaGafen, according to that reason, says Rav Shlomo Zalman Auerbach, that one should cover the Mizonos. A fifth nafka mina. Does one and is one required to cover all other foods at the table? Forget it, you're not having Mizonos. You're being cautious and careful, and you have fruit, and you have all types of other items, salads, at the table. And it's a Kiddush. Is one required to cover everything else? From Tzvi Shechter in the Sefer Nefesh Rav, quoting Rav Salvechik, said that according to the reason of the Sheilta cited by the Rashbam, Ki hechi detesi suda liyikra b'shapsa, one would be required to have cover everything, because here you're looking for, you're anticipating, you're excited for what is to come, and in that circumstance, what is to come in this situation is all of the delicious snacks and foods that are on the table, and therefore, according to that reason, Rav Salvechik posited that one should cover every single thing at the table itself, even though there's no Mizonos, and even though there's no Hamotzi, but according to the reason of Yikra, the Shapsa, one should cover the Challah. A sixth nafka mina, a sixth practical difference. Let's say a person is at a Kiddush Shabbos morning, but again, you're not the one making Kiddush. There's somebody else making Kiddush, and you're not even going to drink from the wine. Many people don't have the minig to drink from the wine at a Kiddush prior to eating the main Shabbos meal. So do you have to cover whatever you have at your area, in your space, because the individual who is making Kiddush is doing so. So again, Rav Shlomo Zalman Auerbach in the footnotes to Shmir Shabbos Kilchasa, Perek Mem Zayin Ha'ara Kuf Chafei, says that absolutely, positively not. There's no reason to cover the chalas, the food that you're eating at the Kiddush, even if it's Mizonos, according to all three reasons. According to not embarrassing the Mizonos, well, I'm not, because I'm not making Kiddush, the Mekadish is. And I'm simply waiting for him to finish Kiddush, and I'm sitting back. According to the other two reasons, says Rav Shlomo Zalman Auerbach, you also are not required, because this is not considered a meal. And when the Shilto said, Ki hechi detesi suda b'yikra de shapsa, that's talking about a Friday night meal, the main meal of Shabbos. And according to the man reason, says Rav Shlomo Zalman Auerbach, man is only true when it comes to the bread, and not when it comes to the Mizonos. So therefore, according to Rav Shlomo Zalman Auerbach, a person at a Kiddush Shabbos day is not required to take his little plate and his area and his space and to cover it if he is simply waiting for the other person to make Kiddush for everybody. The seventh and final nafka mina, the covered Shabbos, number seven, is whether or not one is required to cover the challah when you're making Kiddush on lechem. Sometimes there are situations a person doesn't have wine, and a person, the halach is, Friday night, you make Kiddush on the lechem. So in that case, you have to cover the bread. The Taz in Siman Reish Ayin Aleph, if Katan Yudbeis raises this question, and he says, well, according to the reason that the bread shouldn't be embarrassed, well, here there's no Kiddush, and the bread will never be embarrassed. So you don't have to cover the challah. But according to the other two reasons, that you're excited for the meal, you're excited for the challah, and furthermore, if it's supposed to be indicative and commemorative of the man, one would be required to cover the challah. So those are seven basic practical ramifications, nafka mina, as to the three different reasons as to why we cover the challah on Shabbos, the reason of the Rashbam, based upon the Shiltas to look forward to the Shabbos meal, the reason of Tosfos, Zeichel Aman, to remember the fact that the man had a dew covering on the top and on the bottom, and the reason of the Miri, not to be embarrassing of the bread. It's interesting to note, if you read and learn the Gemara, the Sugya, and Pesachim, Daf Kuf Aleph and Beis, the indication is that there was absolutely no covering of the challos whatsoever. In Talmudic time, the Tanaim and the Maraim, they didn't have challah covers. What they would do, actually, is that they would have tables, and each table was placed aside until Kiddush was concluded, And then once Kiddush was concluded, they would bring the entire table back out and then eat the Shabbos meal. The Gemara says that a Malach who saw on Friday night that the Shulchan was Aruch, that the table was set for Makom Acher in a separate place, and then you brought the table out after Kiddush was made, was the greatest thing, and the Malach would be sure to come back again. Now, if you don't see any indication in the Gemara that there's a Chiyuv to cover the Challah, so why are we covering the Challah? It's true, we have a reason of the Rashbam and the reason of the Tosfos and the reason of the Meiri. But the Gemara doesn't say that that's what happened. The Gemara says, bring the table. So maybe that's what we should do. Although we have big tables, says Tosfos, and that's the reason why we can't bring the large table back out. In Talmudic times and times of the Mishnah, the Gemara had small tables, and they brought the table out after Kiddush was concluded. But maybe what we can do is simply bring the Challah to the table after Kiddush is made. Leave the challah in the kitchen, leave the challah in the side room, make Kiddush, and then bring the challahs out, and you get out of all of the problems. You never have to cover the challah. Why do we do that? Indeed, the minhag of the Vilna Gaon, the Gra, as quoted in Sefer Ma'aseh Rav, is that that's exactly what he would do. He would bring the challahs to the table after Kiddush in order to be mekayim to fulfill the letter of the law, that which is, seems to be explicit in the Gemara that there was no challah cover, and he would bring the challahs to the table after the Kiddush. The reason that we probably do not do that, although Talmidei HaGra and those who follow the customs of the Gra are very careful and cautious not to have challah on the table, even by Yama Mahem Basman is that when Kiddush is being made Friday night and even with a challah cover, and they bring it out after. The reason that we don't do that, or those who don't follow the Vilna Gaon, is because it doesn't look like it's really so respectful or mechubar, because it seems maybe that he just forgot the challah in the other room. When the Gemara was talking about bringing the table out after you finish Kiddush, then you're talking about excitement. You move the table in, it's almost like a smorgasbord. You're bringing in a whole new table with a whole new dish and a whole new entree, and the table comes in. So you're prepared with the table in another place. You make Kiddush, and then you bring the challah in. But if we do that, and we're only bringing in the challah from the kitchen, it doesn't necessarily look like it's Yikra, the Shabsa, doesn't look like it's Kavod Shabbos. And for that reason, most and almost universally, it's accepted to cover the challah based upon the three reasons in the Rishonim that we just mentioned. Now, it is important to recognize that there is a chiyuv of lecha mishnah, but sometimes the second challah is not always present. You're missing a second challah. You're scrambling for a second challah. What do you do, and how do you deal with that situation? How about a challah in the freezer? So, Rav Moshe Feinstein quoted in the Sefer Radiance of Shabbos Paskin, that a frozen challah that's being used as a second bread for the lecha mishnah is mutter, even though it is not completely thawed out, as long as over time, during the course of the meal, theoretically, it will be able to be eaten, that is absolutely okay. The second challah, though you're not eating it, it shouldn't be raw, it shouldn't be stale, it shouldn't be unedible, because it should be roi la'achila. But of course, in a situation where there is a difficulty, one should take another bread item, if you don't have a lecha mishnah, and take something else, even if it's a sliced piece of challah, even if it's a challah that broke in half, if you're able to put the two together with a toothpick or something else, in order to be mekayim lecha mishnah, that's also b'di'evit okay. Furthermore, if you don't have bread, and if you have a cookie or a cake, something else, that also is the best thing to do in that situation. Of course, a chacham eina b'rosha, we should be prepared and always make sure that we have a proper lechem mishnah about and around to use as a second challah, as a second loaf. Mishnah Berurah Siman Kuf Amud Zayin, Sifkat Nidal, says that the definition of a challah shalim, a complete challah, that one is fulfilling the mitzvah lechem mishnah, is anytime you hold the challah in your hand, and it stays complete. But if you're to pick up a challah and the challah breaks in half, that is the geder, that's the definition of a challah that is not considered to be shalem, and such a challah should not be used. One should be aware of a big chiddush of the Machzis HaShekel, and certainly very practical for the very popular pull-apart challah. If you have a pull-apart challah that's a round challah, and you could pull with your hand separate pieces of the challah, well, how do you deal with that when it comes to lecha mishnah? Is it possible to be makel and assume that when you pull apart each piece of the challah, sometimes it's a six-piece, an eight-piece pull-apart challah, that each little piece itself is considered to be a shalit? There's a chiddush of the Machzis HaShekel in Siman Reish Ayin Dalet that says that if you bake challahs separately and then they come together, if you're interested in having them separated after, it counts as lechem mishnah. That would be a major nafkamina, certainly if somebody doesn't have a second kalan. Certainly in a bidyevit shatatak situation, according to the machtos shekel, you could take your pull-apart challah apart, and that itself could be made into many different challahs to be mekayim the mitzvah of lechem mishnah. The further chiddush of the machtos shekel, which some achronim understand, that even the different pieces, when they're put together, when they're together in their pull-apart challah, and they have not been separated yet, that that itself counts as lechem mishnah. A full challah that we ordinarily look at as a pull-apart challah as one, well, because there's 6 or 8 or 10 pieces that are together, that in and of itself is lechem mishnah. Of course, lechatchila and ideally, one should always make sure to have 2 loaves, 2 rolls, 2 lechem mishnah, the mekayim the mitzvah of lechem mishnah, and of course, the mekayim the mitzvah of shalav shudos, the great mitzvah of zachor es yom haShabbos, to fulfill the positive mitzvah saseh of Shabbos. The Gemara says in Shabbos and Daf Kuf Yuches, somebody who fulfills the mitzvah of shalav shudos is mekayim a great mitzvah, and is nitzol and saved mishalosh poronios, from 3 evil decrees, mechevlo shel Mashiach, the pain of the pre-days of Mashiach, the dinah shel Gehenim, the judgment of Gehenim, and the melchama of Gog u'Magog. So certainly we should be careful, cautious, and make sure to be mekayim the mitzvah of shalosh shudos, and even in a situation where we're full and we're unable to eat, so at least have something for the sake of Suda Shlishis, and of course to make sure that we'll always be mekayim the great mitzvah of Suda Shlishis as well. Have a wonderful evening.